Hey guys, what's up? My name's Ines. I write kissing books, and today I'm having a bit of a breakdown because in the game of life, I wagered high and lost the bet. Let me break it down for you. I've been studying romantic comedies, trying to figure out what makes them funny. I found it's not the jokes. It's the deceptions. Today, we're going to take a look at the bet or wager deception. In the bet or wager deception in romantic comedies, one or both characters enters a bet, wager, or agreement with an ulterior motive, typically involving the other character as the unwitting subject of the bet. The stakes can vary, but the essence of the deception lies in the transformation of the character's intentions over time, as what starts as a deceptive pursuit evolves into genuine affection and love. I found about 5 types of bets in romantic comedies. There's the dating for a dare, where one of the most common bets involves a character being dared or challenged to date someone they wouldn't normally consider their type. This setup can lead to a series of comedic misunderstandings and situations as the dater tries to win over the unsuspecting party, only to find themselves genuinely falling for them. There's the makeover bet. This variant involves a bet to transform someone's appearance, their social standing, or behavior, often inspired by the Pygmalion myth. The character making the bet usually takes on the role of a mentor, guiding the transformation process, but becomes emotionally invested in the person they're improving, leading to unexpected romantic developments. There's the pretending to be someone else bet. In some cases, the bet involves one character pretending to be someone they're not, either to win a date or to achieve some other goal. The comedy and drama unfolds as the character struggles to maintain their facade, with the deception leading to both humorous slip-ups and moments of vulnerability. There's the competing for affection bet. Another variation involves two characters betting that they can win the affection of a third party. This setup often leads to competitive antics and schemes, but as the characters go to greater lengths to win the bet, one or both discovers that their true feelings lie elsewhere, perhaps even with each other. And the accomplishing a task or challenge bet. Sometimes the bet is about getting the other person to do something out of the ordinary, like convincing a workaholic to take a day off or getting a reserved person to perform on stage. The person making the bet usually orchestrates the situations to achieve this, leading to shared experiences that bring the characters closer together. On to the examples. My first example is 10 Things I Hate About You. This is a modern adaptation of Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew, but it's set in an American high school. The story revolves around the Stratford sisters, Kat, a fiercely independent and outspoken senior, and Bianca, her more popular and conformist younger sister. Their father's strict rule, Bianca can only date when Kat does. This sets the stage for the unfolding drama. Kat Stratford, portrayed by Julia Stiles, longs for a world that values authenticity over conformity, a place where her intelligence and strong-willed nature are seen as virtues rather than obstacles. Her need, though deeply buried under layers of cynicism and defiance, is to connect with someone who understands and accepts her for who she truly is. Kat's wound stems from a past relationship that ended badly, leading her to build walls around her heart to protect herself from further hurt. This experience has instilled in her a fear of vulnerability, causing her to push people away and adopt a persona of detachment and disdain for the high school social hierarchy. Patrick Verona, played by Heath Ledger, is introduced as the mysterious and somewhat rebellious new student with a rumored dark past. Despite his tough exterior, Patrick's longing is for a sense of belonging and purpose, something more meaningful than the reputation that precedes him. His need is to be seen beyond the rumors and his bad boy facade, to reveal his true self to someone who cares to look close enough. Patrick's wound is not explicitly detailed, but it's hinted at through his guarded nature and reluctance to form close relationships. His fear is of being truly seen and subsequently rejected, leading him to maintain his identity as the aloof and untouchable loner. The plot thickens when Cameron, a new student who has a crush on Bianca, concocts a plan to get Kat to date so that Bianca can be free to date him. This leads Patrick being hired by Joey, Bianca's wealthy and narcissistic admirer, to date Kat. Initially, Patrick's attempts to win Kat over are met with resistance, but as they spend more time together, genuine feelings start to develop between them. 10 Things I Hate About You uses the Bette deception as a central plot device, leading to numerous comedic moments as Patrick attempts to win over the seemingly impenetrable Kat. The humor arises from Patrick's efforts to charm Kat, her resistance and sometimes abrasive responses to it, and the various high school settings and scenarios where their interactions take place. For example, their meet cute. When Patrick first tries to talk to Kat in the music store, he thinks this is going to be easy, but she coolly rebuffs him, highlighting the contrast between his determined efforts and her indifference. Then there's the serenade. Patrick performs a rendition of Can't Take My Eyes Off You, accompanied by the school's marching band on the football field while Kat is at soccer practice. His bold and public display, complete with goofy dancing and cheeky confidence, not only amuses the onlookers, but also endears him to Kat, despite her initial embarrassment. The party scene. Joey throws a party, which provides a backdrop for some more humorous moments. Kat's uninhibited dance on the table, followed by Patrick's reaction and subsequent care when she hits her head, blends humor with moments of genuine connection. These comedic moments serve to not only entertain, but also to build the chemistry between Kat and Patrick, making their eventual romantic connection all the more satisfying. Kat's passionate and unapologetic essence begins to shine through as she opens up to Patrick, revealing her intelligence, humor, and tenderness. Similarly, Patrick's true essence, that of a caring and thoughtful individual capable of deep affection, emerges as he lets down his guard with Kat. The film reaches an emotional climax when the truth about the Bette comes to light, shattering the trust and budding romance between Kat and Patrick. This revelation serves as the dark moment for both characters, forcing them to confront their fears and the consequences of their actions. In the end, Patrick's grand gesture, buying Kat a guitar with the money he earned from the Bette and expressing his true feelings, coupled with Kat's heartfelt poem, allows them to reconcile. This resolution showcases their growth and their willingness to embrace their true selves, paving the way for a genuine and loving relationship. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is a romantic comedy that intertwines the lives of Andy Anderson, played by Kate Hudson, and Benjamin Barry, played by Matthew McConaughey. Andy, a journalist for a women's magazine, longs to write about substantial matters, but she's stuck covering fluff pieces. Her latest assignment, however, offers a twist. She must start dating a man and then drive him away within 10 days using classic relationship faux pas. This challenge speaks to Andy's need for professional fulfillment and her desire to break free from the constraints of her superficial journalism. But it also masks her deeper wound, her fear of genuine intimacy, possibly stemming from past relationships or the superficial nature of her work. Benjamin, on the other hand, is an advertising executive who believes he can make any woman fall in love with him in 10 days. Aiming to win a high-stakes bet that would allow him to lead a prestigious diamond campaign. His longing is for professional success and recognition, believing that this will affirm his worth and capabilities. Beneath this ambition, however, lies Ben's need to be valued for more than just his charm and surface-level achievements. His wound is not explicitly detailed, but it's hinted at through his competitive nature and fear of failure, which drive him to maintain his identity as a suave, successful man who can win over any woman. The plot unfolds as Andy and Ben's paths cross, each unaware of the other's ulterior motives. Their initial interactions are marked by Andy's over-the-top antics to repel Ben, from her clinginess to her emotional manipulation, all designed to push him away according to her article's premise. Meanwhile, Ben's efforts to woo Andy become increasingly desperate as he counters her every move with patience and calculated charm, determined to win his bet. Some examples of comedic moments as these two who try to win the bet are the love fern. Andy gives Ben a love fern as a symbol of their growing relationship, only to use it later as a tool of guilt and manipulation, accusing him of letting their love die when the plant starts to wilt. Then there's the dog and poker game. Andy surprises Ben by bringing a small dog home, much to his dismay. The situation escalates comically when she brings the dog to a poker game with Ben's friends, showcasing her knack for disrupting Ben's bachelor lifestyle. Then there's the family album. In an effort to accelerate their relationship uncomfortably fast, Andy creates a family album featuring Photoshop pictures of her and Ben and their children. The absurdity of the album and Ben's forced smile as he presents it to his boss add a layer of comedic humor to the situation. And there's the therapy session where Andy drags Ben to a couple's therapy session where she openly discusses their intimacy issues in front of a complete stranger, much to Ben's embarrassment. Her exaggerated revelations and his uncomfortable reactions make for a hilarious, awkward scene. And there's lots more, all while Ben struggles for patience to win his bet. The turning point comes when Andy and Ben's deceptions are publicly revealed, leading to a mutual sense of betrayal. This revelation forces them to confront their fears and the superficial identities they presented to the world. Andy realizes her fear of genuine connection and her longing for meaningful work and relationships, while Ben confronts his fear of inadequacy and his need for authentic personal and professional relationships. In the end, both Andy and Ben must strip away their facades and confront their true feelings for each other. Andy's decision to pursue her true journalistic passions and Ben's realization of his love for Andy beyond the confines of the bet demonstrate their growth. Their reconciliation, symbolized by Ben's chase to stop Andy from leaving New York, culminates in their acceptance of each other's true selves, moving beyond the superficial identities they once clung to and embracing the essence of genuine love. There must be something about the number 10 in bets. Both of these films provide audiences with hilarious scenes as the characters attempt to win a bet and wind up winning at love. Want a more in-depth exploration of pacing? Try out my Patient or Pacing course, How to Write a Binge-Worthy Novel in 21 Days, at anesswrites.com/PTP for Patient or Pacing. You can also read more breakdowns and chat with others on my free Substack at anesswrites.substack.com. And if you're a paid subscriber, you can follow along as I write the nonfiction book, Patient or Pacing, How to Write a Binge-Worthy Novel in 21 Days. In the meantime, you go get them words, and I'll try to keep it together until the next time we break it down. I'll see you then. Bye.